You can't expect understanding from somebody at the same time sowing misunderstanding for somebody else. You can't want to reap trust from somebody while you are constantly sowing suspicion towards others. What goes out will determine what comes in. When you look back over your life, and this is a great exercise, was what you wanted from others, from life, ever undermined by how you behaved or what you did or the words that you spoke? I mean, were you wanting one thing and at the same time you were sowing others? You need to understand that what you want is always seeded by how you behave, how you your behavior, your actions, and your words. The behavior we choose, the actions we take, and the words that we speak will be the seeds that will begin to produce crops for the next several years. I believe that our behavior, our words, and our actions are the seed bag of our life. It's the seed bag of our life. The Lord has established a law in the universe that won't allow you to receive something different than what you give. Here's a good saying, and I hope you grasp it, but all behavior is a boomerang, and I'm going to try to show that to you. All behavior will boomerang back onto your life. Now, sowing and reaping, and it's sad that a lot of times you only hear it in the context of when people are wanting some money. And so they talk about sowing generously and reaping generously. And I'm sure that money is within the confines of this. I'm positive that. But it's not just limited to that. It's limited to a lot of things in our lives. Sowing and reaping refers to all of our behavior. And I'm just going to give you these scriptures. We're going to reference them. You can write them down. But Obadiah 1:15 makes this statement: you shall be treated as you have treated others. It says your deeds will recoil upon your head. And then Matthew 7:12, and we call it the golden rule. It simply says, however you want people to treat you, so treat them, for this is the law. Now, Jesus isn't saying this is a good idea. What he's actually telling us is a law that how I treat others determines how I'm going to be treated. That's why he's encouraging us. However you want somebody to be kind to you, you be kind to others. You want somebody to seek to try to understand you in the midst of a confusing situation, then you need to do the same for somebody else. If you want respect, then you need to give respect. If you want to be rewarded for hard work, then you need to, wherever you see anybody working hard, you need to reward them. Well, whoever it is. Especially people in the service industry. Now, I know that some of them don't work hard, but there are a lot that do. And I promise you, when you begin to recognize people's hard work, all of a sudden, something happens that others don't even understand. They start recognizing your hard work, and they start rewarding it. It's the law, the golden rule. You know, and I do a lot in prison ministry. In fact, I have to apologize. Stephen says I shouldn't, but as soon as I'm done, I'm going to have to skedaddle. That's a Pittsburgh word. And because I have to get up to Montgomery, this is my 22nd year of doing a prison crusade in the Alabama prison system. We're going to be in 20 prisons. 400 volunteers have come down for a week. They have volunteered their time and services, and And this is their 25th year anniversary, and they've asked me to be the keynote speaker that ends the meeting. And so it's in Montgomery, so I have to, and I have to speak at 3:30. So I'm going to have to break a few laws in order, in order to get there. And but as soon as I'm done, I'm going to have to leave, and I hope you understand. Normally, I don't go to the orientation day, but because it's the 25th anniversary. But all week I'm going to be ministering with inmates. Most of you know my story. I spent 8 years of my life in prison, and I'll share a little bit more on that. And so, and I'm positive that during the week I'm going to hear from a few inmates who tell me that they are innocent of the crime that they have committed, and they don't need to be there. Now, there will be several that are actually lying to me, but there are people in prison who are innocent of the charges that they have been charged with. Sometimes it's just the overambitious police and prosecutors. You know, they look at someone's past and they find an easy conviction. But one of the things that I tell them, I said, well, listen, I said, you sowed for this. I said, you're suffering innocently. And they said, that's right, that's right. I said, well, you may be innocent of this crime. Have you ever committed any other crimes against people and that you actually did? And he said, yeah. I said, well, would you agree with me that the people you perpetrated these crimes on were innocent of any ill will towards you? And they'll say, yeah. And I said, so your actions, though they're innocent, caused them to suffer. And they said, right, so they're suffering innocently. I said, you've been sowing that, so now why are you complaining because you're reaping it? And if I can get them to see that sowing bad seed got them into a bad place, then sowing good seed will get them into a good place. And if I can convince them of that, because a lot of them just want a quick fix. And I appreciate those things in God that are quick fixes, but there are a lot of things that are not. There's a fix. There's a principle. There's a way. It may not be quick, but it sure is sure. It will work if you work it. I'm a firm believer. If you don't quit on anything, you can't be defeated. You just can't be defeated. I'm a firm believer. There's probably more acceptable answers, but there are two acceptable answers to the question. When I ask a Christian, I say, hey, how you doing? I think there's only two acceptable answers. They either tell me I'm up or I'm getting up. You know, one of the two. Those are the only two acceptable answers. And if they get up, you know, Proverbs 24:16 says, though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again, he gets up. Righteousness is not seen in the falling, it's seen in the rising. Yeah, all right, I blew it, but if I get up and I keep moving, I can't be defeated. I might fall again, but I'm going to get back up, and I can't be defeated. I might fall again, but I promise you one day I'm going to fall, and I'm going to get up, and I ain't going to fall again in that area. I can't be defeated because I'm sowing good seed, and I'm going to reap a good crop. All of our behavior will return. It says in 2 Timothy, and this is one you can write down, 3:13, deception will return. It says, evil men and imposters proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. One of the things that motivates me to be as completely honest, and I am honest to my own detriment, I am too honest. But what motivates me to be that is because I don't ever want to sow a lie. I just don't. I don't want to ever get somebody to believe something that's wrong as though it's right. Because it says when I do that, then I open myself up to being deceived. And I can't afford to believe things that are wrong as though they're right. And the way that I can make sure that doesn't happen is I don't sow it. I don't want to reap it. And I have found, because I am honest, people tend to get really honest with me. And I kind of like it. I'm the kind of guy, just tell me like it is. And my breast stinks, say it stinks, you know. And don't try to say, hey, brother, here's a mint. I mean, hey, you know, just tell me. Now, not everybody's like that, but I am. And it says in Matthew 7, 1 through 3, it says, judge not, lest you be judged. The judgment will return. Now, even though it says judge not, it's really, because in other places it says judge not according to appearance, make a righteous judgment. If you read it in this context, what it's really saying is be careful how you judge, because everybody makes judgments. Just be careful on what criteria that you use to pass this judgment. Because some judgments are actually to be desired, not to be dreaded. But be careful, because it goes on to say, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured back to you. It means whatever criteria that you use to determine a judgment upon someone else is the same one that God's going to use on you. It's going to come back. So you need to make sure whatever criteria, that it's full of mercy, that it's full of grace, that it's full of understanding, that you have good at the end and not evil, that you're wanting to build them up, not tear them down, that you're concerned about their future. And so, because God will then use that one on you. But if it's simply to put somebody in their place, if it's simply to let them know, hey, you blew it. If it's simply to get back at them because they did something to you, that's the criteria. Be careful. Because the Bible says, with what measure you meet, how you measure it out, is how it's going to be measured back to you. It's going to boomerang. It's coming back. I don't mind behavior coming back if it was good behavior. You know, when I'm nice to people, I want that to boomerang back on me. I do. So I don't mind behavior being a boomerang. I just mind the kind of behavior that becomes a boomerang. Unforgiveness will return. It says in the Lord's Prayer, we need to forgive as we forgive others. God says, listen, when I forgive you freely, fully, instantly, unconditionally. That's the measure I'm going to give to you. Now, I want you now to use that measure with every other relationship.